Yo, welcome to It's About Graham Time with your hosts, Christian Graham.
And Stephanie Graham.
And so we're going to kind of switch things up from the last time that we were recording episodes, because now we have a full-blown recording studio, podcast studio to work out of. And so, God's blessed us with the MK Lab, the Mara Kairos Lab, which is just a space, a creative space where us as creatives and other creatives are able to put our love, soul, and creativity into all that we do. And especially doing good work unto the Lord. And so that's what the lab stands for, which is the Lord's Art Block. And so, with that being said, you know, we just want to come onto this podcast.
Reintroduce
ourselves, but also just be able to have real conversation, you know, and to just come in and check in on my wife and to love on my wife. And if you guys have, as viewers, something to, you know, take away from it, then sure.
Shout out to All Things Ube.
Shout out All Things Ube. Not a sponsor, but good friends of ours. Let me show this to camera 3 over there. I don't know if you could see that. We got All Things Ube. They're actually our neighbors from where we're recording this at the MK Lab.
Yeah, we stopped by just to get a quick sweet treat.
Yeah.
And they're actually in the same position as we're all in the same position.
Yeah.
In a sense.
They're a little bit older than us. I ain't trying to call them out by age, but
I don't know how old they are, but I'm just saying business owners, mm-hmm. Both married. They have 2 kids with 1 on the way.
Two girls with
a,
1 on the way.
But it's a boy.
But that one's a boy. And
ours,
we
girl.
Are girl dad. I'm a girl dad. Hashtag girl dad.
Yay.
3 girls. We got
plus
baby.
Plus your favorite girl.
Plus my favorite girl. So I'm super overran. Help me.
You got Agape.
I do have our first son, Agape. Not the same hashtag. But I love him all the same, you know. So we have our baby Noah mm-hmm. on the way, coming on your birthday.
Yeah. Due date June 4th, but the doctors have scheduled my C-section date May 29th on my birthday. So I'm trying, my next appointment is on the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So next Monday. And I am going to ask if I could change the date, so I don't have it on my birthday.
So talk to me about that experience of like what it's like to hear that your daughter could be born on your birthday. What does that feel like? I know it's not for certain, you know, because Oli came 2 weeks early, but
yeah. I mean, if Noah doesn't come and on that day, one, like, it's a lot of mixed emotions because one, I'm just happy that, you know, she's going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
2, I'm going to think, dang, I'm going to be cut open on this day. Like, happy births to me.
Right.
And, I mean, this is all God willing because we really just don't know the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bittersweet thing. Like, I just want her here. I pray that she's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that I make it through that day because just surgery alone is scary. And then, God willing, we have many birthdays, like, after that with each other. Like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to go on a vacation for the next, I don't know, 18 years, 19, 20, 21 years.
Without her.
And it not be a day that I get to celebrate me as well.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I hope that I am going to be the great husband that finds a way to separate the two birthdays and makes you both feel celebrated.
No, because you're going to be like, oh, it's on the same day. I don't have to separate the birthday party for 18, 20 years or so, because May is expensive for you.
Are you calling me bad?
No, I'm not. I'm not calling you bad. I'm actually, am I pitying you or am I just, I feel bad. I feel bad that you have Oli's birthday, my birthday, Mother's Day. And I like to celebrate Mother's Day and my birthday the whole month.
Mm-hmm.
And now if you're to have Noah's birthday on a different day, then we got to celebrate her birthday separate from my birthday. But if we were to have it on each other's birthday, then it's just going to be her birthday. And then I'm just like, here's a box of See's candies.
Right. And that's exactly, you know, how we're going to do it is like, here's your See's candy and you go to your friend's house or you go to Chuck E. Cheese or whatever. You go do whatever you need to do. And then like.
To Noah.
Yeah, to Noah.
Okay.
Oh, no, to you.
That sounds like then, I'm not going to go to Chuck E. Cheese for my birthday.
And then me and you, or you and I, can go to wherever. I think this is like post-16, maybe. Like
16 years? I'm going to have to wait that long?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I can't really plan out what it's going to look like over the first 13 or maybe 15 years. But
it's okay. We still have our anniversary on April 10th.
I don't know. Like, you know, I would think that they wouldn't want to deal with us like later on, but like Oli and Aaliyah are what, 5 and like not even 3, and they're like off doing their own thing already. So like as if they don't want us, only like when Oli needs a diaper change and then like Aaliyah's just like hungry, will they actually come to us and like want to spend time with us? Otherwise, they're just like consumed on their tablets or.
Yeah. But we're going to have a beach day soon.
Yeah.
It's spring break.
It is spring break for Aaliyah as we're recording this right now. And so the weather has been like so off and on with rain and then like super sunny, super warm, 70 degrees in San Diego. And so we want to make the time to at least take her out like one time during her summer break, even though she's 5 years old, you know, TK.
I mean,
summer break.
You know what? I'm just really happy that she's playing with her neighbor, like, you know, with Alvin's daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and they play on the street outside sometimes. Mm-hmm. And if it's too cold, they'll go inside. But she has neighborhood friends.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? Is like because she's so emotionally mature that she's able to like hang out with them. Mm. And you know, they're like a little bit older than her and stuff, but like they treat her all the same. And they're even teaching her, you know, like sign language and stuff.
Sign
too,
language,
you know?
They do homework together.
Doing homework together. And there's even like other kids that are her age, the twins up the road, that we never talked to at all yet.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're
those
pregnant
are,
too.
And they're pregnant as well. And so like, I feel like at some point, maybe trying to get them to be able to get out of the house and, you know, ride bikes together or something. But for now, you know, it's nice letting her play with the older ones. And
I'm intimidated making parent friends.
I am too.
I don't know how to approach people, to be honest. So like,
you know, there's this guy at the gym that, you know, the dad that has like the super curly hair. He's like younger in his 30s and he like wears like basketball type.
What's his ethnicity?
He's like half black, half white, I think, or something.
Okay.
And then like they drive like the Mercedes, the two Mercedes cars. They got a son and a daughter. Anywho. Like, he's not that much older than us. And I see him all the time at the gym. Like, we go drop off the kids. We have the same routine. We drop off the kids.
Mm-hmm.
he must go home first for a little bit, and then he comes to LA.
The tall one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, you know, I'm working out and stuff, and then we always pass by each other, and then I'm like, man, maybe today's the day that I go introduce myself and be like, yo, do you want our kids to go play together? Because, like, you know, they're the same age and
but
stuff.
Are they in the same class? They're not in the same class.
They're not the same class. Okay. I think the other one is in actual kinder, not TK.
I don't know.
But anywho, you know, like, they don't live that far from us. And so I'm like, you know, maybe I should just hit him up for a workout or to, you know, let the kids play or something, you know what I mean? But I'm like, as extroverted as I am, like, for some reason I can't pull the trigger.
I wait for you to make the first move talking to people.
I know.
I know you know. So it's surprising to know that you feel some type of way about approaching, you know, parents and other people, just because I don't sense that from you.
Yeah, it's, I feel like, I don't know. It's just like, I'm kind of also just being maybe like Papa Bear, like, you know, aware of my kid, you know, and like not wanting, because they're like the opposite sex, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So maybe that, like, instinctually is like, oh yeah, I don't want Aaliyah like playing with them. Like, I don't feel that way because they're just kids.
Yeah,
you know,
it's all platonic and it's all very innocent.
Yeah, because they're just like little babies. But
when Aaliyah comes home talking about Alan.
You know, the thing is, like, I was Aaliyah's age.
Uh-huh.
And I went to daycare, and I kissed my first, like, the first girl at that age at daycare.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, even though they're young.
I want to preserve Aaliyah's innocence.
It'd be so sketch, you know what I'm saying? And so I know what these boys be up to. They be trying to kiss, you know?
Yeah.
They be trying to. I mean, they just young, but
I mean, they don't know the intricacies and the complexities of all that, but
yeah,
still, no, I
want her to wait till like 35, you know?
Yeah, I want to preserve her innocence. It's hard. It's hard in this day and age, especially with the tablets.
Yeah.
And then her hanging out with some older, a little bit older, girls, you know, they know stuff that she doesn't know, and I don't know all the, I'm not trying to get into like anything deeper and stuff, but you know, there's times where Aaliyah's like, well, so-and-so can do it. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can't, they're older than you.
Mm-hmm.
And having to talk to her about those things, it's like, it's hard. It's hard out here for a parent.
Yeah. I think like just the fact that we're able to allow her to go to another person's house and like feel comfortable in 2024,
yeah,
is like really rewarding to have and like really exciting to have, because I feel like a lot of people in 2024 either A, don't trust like their neighbors even,
mm-hmm.
or two, like they just don't have the opportunity to or whatever, you
but
know.
But we're thankful. I'm thankful that you know pretty much a lot of people on your street because mm-hmm. you live there your life, your whole entire life. And where she's going, you grew up there yourself.
Yeah, I used to play there.
Yeah.
With their great nieces and nephews that mm-hmm. are now my age.
Yeah.
And stuff, you know, or our age. And so, yeah, it feels good being able to, you know, let her to have friends growing up over there. But I don't know. Yeah, I think as a parent it's scary. I still think about it like from time to time, like am I really, like, she is 5 years old, like I really mm-hmm. have her, like, you know,
running
over,
across the street.
Yeah, like not even just that, like I don't mind her like playing out in the street, but like I literally don't even have to have my eyes on her because mm-hmm. like they just take care of her
mm-hmm.
you know, like her own, like their own granddaughter.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I'm like, all
I think,
right.
I think anyone else I would be really sketched, not sketched out, but be more cautious.
Yeah.
But I am comfortable with where she's at and who she's playing with.
Yeah.
And I mean, every hour, maybe 2 hours, I'll go and check on her and stuff here and there. But right now I'm comfortable with her friends.
I think it's just like a really blessed and fortunate opportunity for us, because a lot of people for sure don't have that, you know, to be able to send their kid and go hang out with a neighbor, you know, at the neighbor's house. So, yeah, it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Feels good.
And Aaliyah's very vocal. So she tells me things, you know. I mean, aside from if I don't even remember something I did. And she called it out so plain, so clear, so articulate. And she said something along the lines of, Mom, I didn't like when you said that to me. I was so disappointed and it made me sad. I was like, dang, what did I say? And she repeated, and I apologized. But I think we're having, she is emotionally mature for her age, and she's able to get her point across clearly. So it's easy to have a conversation with her. And I want to give her privacy, you know, and her independency, but having an open channel with her, you know, and I know that she feels comfortable talking to me. And so I don't think right now there's any hidden things.
Why? Why it is the... So for those of you listening on the audio side, we tried to turn off this dang energy saver on the TV that displays the logo, but for some reason we can't get it to like work properly or whatever.
This is an LG.
Yeah. I'm sending it back to Costco.
Costco's my store.
What's your favorite thing at Costco? Sorry, you got your mouth stuffed with this banana pudding.
I thought I had more time before you asked a question. Growing up, my favorite thing was the samples, right? But now people are like kind of, not now people, they've always been, but people are very catty, you know, when they'll put out a whole tray of new samples, and then there's somebody who's like just standing there, and they'll take 3 or 4, walk away, come back, get more. So it hasn't been the samples that have been my favorite. It's whenever I'll go into a Costco and I see a couch on display, then I'm so happy because I get to sit.
Yeah.
Because walking be hurting.
The first thing that came to mind was either the top sirloin or the muffins. And it has nothing to do with Costco, like the experience of Costco. But just knowing what my wife is going to do to that steak or to that sirloin when I get home with it, like she has just been cooking like a mad woman, like throwing it on the wok. We got the little avocado cooking spray oil. Throw a little bit of that on there.
She'd
be chopping up all the vegetables.
Putting stuff together.
You know, she'd be looking like a little Asian chef, you know?
I'll be like this.
Exactly. She'd be cooking it up, you know? And I think like maybe not like what experience I like the most out of Costco, but my favorite part about Costco is getting home from Costco out of the craziness that is Carmel Mountain Costco and then being able to like cook that nice, what is it? Stir fry. Yeah, there you go. The stir fry that you'd be cooking up.
Yeah, I mean, we eat out a lot.
Yeah.
And we've been trying not to from time to time more recently. And so, like, the stuff from my baby shower.
Not intentionally, by the way.
What do you mean?
I've always wanted to eat at home. But Steph was like, I don't cook since, like, day one. And
I thought that was very important to disclose. Because my mom did that with Big Sean.
Yeah.
On their first date. They went out, ate Mexican food. She's like, I don't cook. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to keep that in mind because I didn't learn anything from my mom about cooking.
And you don't got to learn from your mom. You just learn and you just do yourself because you your own woman. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to be your mom.
I'm not trying to be my mom.
You're already trying to look like your mom too much and fall like your mom, you know? So.
Okay, let's just end the podcast and
be
here.
Gumpy like your mom.
No. My mom can dance. She's not gumpy. She's just going to be clumsy.
Clumsy. There you go. Nah, gumpy was the wrong word. Clumsy.
But no, it's. Okay, cooking. I don't prefer cooking. It's so much. There's just so much thinking involved. Like, we have a friend named Jessica. She's like, oh, I just threw together something. And it's, like, immaculate. You know? I don't even know. The last time, I think she made, like, this pasta salad. And I've never had some of this type of pasta, this dressing that she put in, some of the, I don't know, was it bacon? I don't know what she put in there, but it was so good and it was so fancy to me. And I'm just like, I would never have thought about this. And then, or like Justine, they're going vegetarian for some time.
Pescatarian.
Yeah. But we go to eat at their house and she puts together a tofu jambalaya.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm just like, I'm so blown away.
Yeah.
That people think of this because jambalaya is not even in my vocabulary when it comes to food.
Yeah.
You know, my food index. It's not.
It's hot dogs, hamburgers, chicken.
I mean, I don't make hot dogs or anything. But it's just like chicken, beef, some rice, maybe some broccoli. Yeah. Maybe I'll make some lasagna with.
I was kind of referring to like when you were growing up, you know, like you had the hot dogs with the rice, you know, or you had I had the potted meat with the rice, you know.
Yeah, hot dogs there's always spaghetti. Then there would be the siamese soup, pizza. There is a lot of, like, tostinos, pizza rolls, all the frozen stuff that you could put, you know. Excuse me. This ube stuff is kind of coming back up with the fish tacos that we had today. But anyways, yeah, we're trying to cook at home.
Yeah.
But it's hard because sometimes I don't want to stand a long time or I can't stand the smell of certain things that still. So
before or after being pregnant?
Before, I think I was cooking a lot more. After being pregnant, I got really sick. And then certain smells just don't hit. Like the frying oil when I cook sirloin is disgusting. I hate it still to this day.
Mm.
At this time, I don't know, but I use the excuse of me being pregnant a lot.
Yeah, you do.
To
get everything you want.
To get everything, but it's what the baby wants.
Yeah, it's what the baby wants.
It's what the baby wants.
To go back to Justine and Jessica, like their cooking is phenomenal, right? But also, they do like to just go on to TikTok or, you know, the recipe books or whatever online. I think the most interesting part is they're like, let me Google up or let me TikTok research a vegan jambalaya. Like just like you said, like, it's not even in my vocabulary as to, like, why I want to look this up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But, like, yeah. But I'm saying this to encourage you, you know, because you can just go on to, you know, Google or TikTok or whatever, and then, you know, find a recipe and you execute better than most people will execute even given a recipe.
I think what's intimidating, or maybe that's the wrong word, is that when it comes to recipes, when it comes to cooking, I'm cooking for you, right? Someone who has different taste, like a tongue palate than I, yours is a lot stronger. So you taste stuff. So I want what I make you to be good. for me, I don't care if it tastes bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to throw some sriracha on and be good, right? I'll put things together and just, this is what I'm going to eat, right? I don't care.
Just a quick throwback. So when we first were dating, you had made, like, we were trying to meal prep and stuff, or like, we were just trying to cook, and then she was like, you know, I did some meal prep, and, you know, I just wanted to bring you over, you know, I'm just trying to be sweet, you know, trying to be cute.
I never said that. Give you a little meal prep. I don't gotta try.
And so she brings over this quinoa with chicken and, like, veggies and stuff like that. And then, you know, she does her little thing. She throws on a little sriracha on it. And, you know, I'm eating this and I'm like, but I'm pretty sure, like, most of this chicken is raw. Like
okay,
partially.
No, no, not true.
And then she's like, oh, yeah, you know, you can just microwave it. And it'll, you know, it'll kill it off and it'll cook it. And, like, you know, you'll be good. And so, like, I'm over here, like, just trying to be, like, you know, the nice, sweet boyfriend that, like, loves the cooking, you know, because I want her to be encouraged to cook and to enjoy what she's doing, because I want her to continue on. And so I'm like, yeah, you know, like, this is so good. You know, this is so good. It's really good. The quinoa cooked perfectly, even though it's dry as hell. Chicken, you know, it's so moist.
You are
but it's
lying.
Like, but for some reason, it's like it's part dry, part
okay,
undercooked.
No. That's okay. Hold
and
on.
I'm
hold
like,
on. Hold on.
I'm like, how do you even do that?
Hold on.
But then, you know, fast forward all these years later, like, she cooks the best. And I mean, like, I'm not even exaggerating at this point. It's like, she cooks the best chicken breast that stays moist, like in a fry, like in a pan fry, you know? And I'm like, how do you even do that? And it's like, yeah, all this training through all these years of just trying to get her to do it, you know, she's able to do it now. And so for all you men out there that are in these marriages, in these relationships where they're telling you, you know, I don't cook, I don't do this, continue to set the example. Be encouraged, my man. Be encouraged, okay? And encourage her to continue to go on, because I promise you, one day, your woman will be able to execute the chicken breast better than all of these restaurants in San Diego or wherever you're at. I promise you.
I appreciate the recognition, okay? But prior to you, I was meal prepping for 2 years, okay? Yeah. Even though I couldn't cook all the other stuff, I was still meal prepping and cooking chicken, and my chicken was fine, okay? And so when I made you that beautiful quinoa bowl, okay, it was fantastic.
No, it was just quinoa.
You're dumb.
That's what it was. It was quinoa. Is this?
You asked me to make it again for you the second time.
You know.
Because you're like, man, this is so good. Because you ate it at my house.
It was good. It was really good. But the chicken was still undercooked. And I was on the toilet that night. And for, like, the next couple nights, like, just
I
praying,
asked you. I you asked know? You, too. When you ate, I was like, is it cooked all the way? And you're like, yeah, it's cooked. I was like, okay, then. Because I wasn't sick. Because it was cooked. It's chicken breast.
Right. It's that's the point. It's chicken breast. It needs to be cooked.
It was cooked.
It wasn't cooked.
It cooks the fastest. And it was cooked on both sides. And it was nice and golden brown, if not burnt.
I don't know about this time. This time.
Anyways,
you know, she's like,
you know,
she's like, just throw the sriracha on there. It'll be good. I promise. Bet. You know? And I'm like, okay. All right.
Anytime he puts down my cooking now, it's just like, all right, well, then
I don't
you
put
make,
down your cooking.
You don't
now
put
because the cooking is
you don't put
amazing.
Down. You don't put down my cooking.
I never did.
You actually never did.
Exactly. Okay,
but if you don't give me like, wow, this is just amazing. If I don't get that reaction, right, that you like really love your food, you ain't eating the next like 2-3 weeks.
Then I know.
Then we just go out because I'm so discouraged.
Hey, look, all I'm saying is all you men out there, you know, sorry, I'm eating this ube white chocolate chip cookie from All Things Ube.
Just lie to your wife and say it's the most best.
You don't have
greatest
to lie.
Thing.
You don't have to lie. You don't have to lie. Never lie. Okay. Tell the truth. This is the most amazing thing ever. Not because the food is amazing, but because she's amazing. Okay. And then once you do that enough times where you convince yourself that, you know what, this statement really is so true, she's going to be convinced. And then she's going to continue to try harder. And now she can make Seth be making full-blown ramen. She be making full-blown, what's that thing that I really like a lot? The flatbread with the balsamic glaze. She hasn't done that in a while. It's almost like a homemade pizza type thing. Really
oh, it's a balsamic pear flatbread.
Exactly. Like, what is that? But it's fire.
I learned it at one of the restaurants that I worked at.
Yeah. And that's also how she learned how to make chicken. So that's the thing, is that if you really want them to learn how to master chicken,
open a restaurant.
Open a restaurant that serves chicken. And I promise you, she'll learn how to make the chicken really well. Like, that's when it started happening.
No, that's very true.
It's very true.
Because I was so self-conscious of how we would present our food to our customers. Like, I did not ever want to see a bad review or somebody getting mad over the food that we put out at Smackin'. So I would sit there at the grill and try to learn as much as I could mm-hmm. about a chicken, you know, and how it would cook and when the best time to, like, flip it or something. I don't know. I thought that was all important to have a successful restaurant.
I mean, yeah, of course, you know, like.
But also to be able to teach somebody else.
Yeah. And now she's at that level, you know, so she's broken not just level one, level two, but she's now at like level 11 out of 10 mastery with
Chamorro.
With Chamorro food.
Barbecue.
Yeah, Chamorro food especially, but just like cooking in general. For a piece of chicken, you can ask our Pastor Walter. Pastor Walter be ranting about how the chicken is made. Steph's the one that trained like majority of these people how to cook the chicken. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, if you really, really want them to be able to cook, you throw them in there in a restaurant or you start your own restaurant and it forces them to clamp down on how they cook this chicken effectively. Okay? That's my little 2 cents. And, you know, you can take that, you can run with it, you know, or you can run far away and go get your to-go plate from another restaurant that knows how to cook chicken, you know? But, you know, it's better when you just get it from your wife because that thing, she just be making the smacks. She just be throwing down.
And the compromise for making the dish, making the food, your husband cleans the dishes.
Exactly. So, you know, there's a song that goes like, she got me doing the dishes. Anything she want for them kisses, you know.
Where did the accent come from?
I ain't no singer, no rapper, but you know, that's how it goes. And so, when she be cooking, you know, that's the compromise that we have, is that, you know, I be doing the dishes sometimes and be drying the dishes too and putting them away, but. Hey.
And he'll do a little dance for me.
I don't know about all that.
Nope, you do a little dance for me.
Yeah. Anywho, we have an appointment coming up. Mm-hmm. And so We're going to go ahead and call it on this one. We appreciate you guys tuning in to this episode of It's About Graham Time with your host, Christian Graham.
And Stephanie Graham.
And, yeah, we're going to be doing weekly releases out of our new podcast studio, the MK Lab. If you're ever interested in booking a studio session for the podcast side, or need a recording studio for your music, or maybe a voiceover, audiobook, or you need some pictures done over in the photography side, or maybe you're a photographer yourself or videographer and you have some projects you want to get done in studios, give us a holler and give us a follow. All right. Peace.
Bye.